Is daf gimel. So we got to three lines down, and we're talking about when to start saying Mashiv Aruchim and Ergashim, day one, day seven, and also at the same time we're discussing the halachas of Nisach HaMayim, which days we start doing the pouring of Nisach HaMayim. So Gemara now says three, and also the source of Nisach HaMayim. We had a few sources already. Mem Yud Mem was a remez for it. So now the Gemara introduces another source for Nisach HaMayim, three lines down. It says Tanya. The Braisa tells us that Rabbi Nasan Omer Bekodesh Haseich Nesach Shechar Lashem, the pasuk regarding the carbon tamid, where it says that they would pour Bekodesh Haseich Nesach, they would pour some libation, it sounds like two things, Lashem. So Bishnei Nisuchim HaKasim Medaber, it's referring to two Nisuchim, Haseich Nesach, Haseich Nesach, two different Nisuchim, Echa Nisach HaMayim, Ve'echa Nisach HaYayin. This is another source, one refers to Nisach HaYayin, and one referring to Nisach HaMayim. That's the source according to Rabbi Nassim. So the Gemara challenges this. Okay, granted, you can't argue with the fact that it's certainly indicating two different nisuchim, but who said maybe Ema Tervayhu Dechamra? Maybe both of the nisuchim are the same one. Maybe they're both of wine. Maybe there's a double wine libation. So the Gemara says, Im Kain, if that were to be the case, Lichtov Kra O Haseich Haseich O Nesach Nesach. It should be inconsistent. If the same libation we're talking about is both Yayin, should be inconsistent. It should say Bekodesh Haseich Haseich Sheikh Hashem, or Bekodesh Nesach Nesach. My Haseich Nesach, why did it switch words? Shmasmina Chada Demaya V'Chada Dechamer. To tell us that there are two different Nisuchim. One is of wine and one is of water. So now that we've concluded all the different sources of Nisach HaMayim, the Gemara wants to know, Elo Hod, it's not that which the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Sukkah, right? As we told us yesterday, the end of Masechah Sukkah is where we learn about Nisach HaMayim. So the Mishnah there says, Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva. Nisach HaMayim took place all 7 days of Sukkot. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, money, who is the author of that Mishnah? E Rabbi Yeshua, what's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? What do you think when you start doing Nisach HaMayim? The last day, right? So according to him, Chad Yom, it's only one day. It wouldn't be all seven, it's only one day, only the last day. E Rabbi Akiva, Trei Yoma, he said on day two is when he started saying it, but we're ignoring Shemini Atzeres right now. So there's only 7 days of Sukkot, not the 8th day. There's only 7 days of Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael. So he starts from day two. That means there are only 6 days of Nisach HaMayim according to Rabbi Akiva. And E Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Shisa Yome. I'm sorry, Rabbi Kiva, he starts on day six. I'm sorry, the other way around. Rabbi Kiva says on day six you start Nisach HaMayim. So you have day six and day seven, that's Trei, that's only two. And E, Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira, who starts doing Nisach HaMayim on day two, according to him, you have Shisa, you have 6 days, Shisa Yoma. So what we've seen so far, nobody holds of 7 days. So the Gemara says no. The Olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, he really is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. He is the author. But didn't we say he holds only 6 days because he starts Nisach HaMayim on day two? That means there are only 6 days left to Sukkot. So we're not including Shemini Atzeres. So Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, v'svir lei ki Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like a different Rabbi Yehuda. The Masnisen of the Mishnah there that holds in Masech HaSukkah, the Tnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belug Hayu Menasech Kol Shemona, Belug, that was the amount of water that was poured. He holds you would pour all 8 days, meaning 7 days of Sukkot, plus Shemini Atzeres. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira holds like Rabbi Yehuda that even on Shemini Atzeres you're going to pour the water, Umapik Resha, but he excludes day one because the Nisach HaMayim isn't hinted until day two. Umayel Shmina, but he includes day eight, so that gives us seven. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira says he's the one who holds that there are 7 days of Sukkot / Shemini Atzeres that you pour the Nisach HaMayim.
Why is he saying called Shmona? It's really seven.
No, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda himself, Rabbi Yehuda Stam holds all eight. Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira is the author of the Mishnah that says Kol Shiva. He holds seven from day two through day eight. Okay, the Gemara now says, where are we now? Maishna Rishon Delo. So why did he exclude Rishon? Why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Meseira hold that there is no Nisach HaMayim on day one? Dechi Remiza Maya B'Sheni Hu D'Remiza. Like we saw, that the letters Mem and Yud Mem are hinted in the Pesukim of the Karbanos of Sukkot. So the first day that it's hinted, the extra Mem is found on day two. So that's when you start Nisach HaMayim on day two, where the Mem is first found. So then the Gemara says, so Bishmini Nami Kiramiza Mayim Bishvi Hudiramiza. But on the other end, the last Remez, the last Mem of Mayim is hinted on day seven. So now we have the brackets, day two is the first Mem, the day 7 is the last mem, day 8 is not included in the remez, so there really should only be 6 days according to Behudim and Beseira. See, therefore, it cannot be the author of the Mishnah of Kol Shiva. So who's the author of the Mishnah of Kol Shiva is Nisach HaMayim? It must therefore be Ella Rabbi Yeshua Hi. The Nisach HaMayim Kol Shiva Hilchasa Gemirle. It must be Rabbi Yeshua. Ah, what's the source? Rabbi Yeshua holds on really, only, it should only be day 1 according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because Rabbi Yeshua holds that when do you start saying Mashiva Ruach on last day of Sukkot? Now we don't know what he says at all about Nisach HaMayim. We know what Rabbi Yehuda says, we know what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, we know what Rabbi Kiva says. We don't know Rabbi Yeshua what he says about Nisach HaMayim. We only know what he says about Mashiva Ruach HaMenagashim. So we assume that those halachas are going to be the same. Just like he says that Mashiva Ruach is only on day 7 of Shavuos, rather of Sukkot, the last day, so too we assumed Nisach HaMayim would also be on the last day. What we're learning from here, it's not true. Mashiva Ruach is on the last day of Sukkot, fine, that's a given. But Nisach HaMayim actually begins on day 1 according to Yeshua. How does he know this? What's the source? So the Gemara says, it's Hilchasa Gemirle. Hilchasa Gemirle means there's a Mesorah, we have a Halacha Moshe Sinai, when it comes to the following Halachas. The Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Nechunya Ish Bikas Beis Charasan, that's his name. Eser Nitios Arava V'Nisach HaMayim Halacha Moshe Sinai. These three things are all Halacha Moshe Mishinai, they're not the only things that are Halacha Moshe Mishinai, but we group these three together. Eser Netios is referring to, last year we had a year of Shemitah. So Shemitah begins Rosh Hashanah. But there's really what's called Tosefesh Shvius. That Rosh Chodesh Elul, we have a 30 days of Hosafa, Tosefesh Shvius. So the Halacha is that you're not allowed to start working the land already from 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah. But when it comes to, there's a special Halacha Moshe Mishinai, if you have a field that has Eser Netios in a certain area, you have 10 different trees, then you're allowed to plow the land. Even though it's also to plow the land during Shemitah, you're allowed to do certain things that will prevent damage. So let's say it came up a lot, anyone who owned a field or a garden in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah, are you allowed to garden your flowers? Could you water your trees? So the Halacha is if you're gardening so they don't get destroyed and died, then you're allowed to. If you're watering it to make it better and to get produce, that's not allowed. So they say that for the Eser Netios, you're allowed to plow simply to make it to avoid the damage, but it's not there to cultivate it. That's the special Halacha Moshe Mishinai. That's number one that we learn from Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Number two is Arava. Arava is also found in the end of Masechah Sukkah, that all 7 days of Sukkot in the Beis HaMikdash, they'll go around the Mizbeach, with, according to some, an Arava, according to others, would be the Lulav Machlokis, and the 7th day, Hoshana Rabbah, they go around 7 times. That's one of the sources of Hoshana Rabbah, and all the Hoshanas that we do during the year, during Sukkot rather, to go around the Bima, that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. They would take an Arava, extra Aravos, and they'd start banging like we do in Hoshana Rabbah. So that concept of Arava is also a Halachal Moshe Mishinai. And then the third thing is why we need this here in the Gemara is Nisach HaMayim. The concept of Nisach HaMayim has no source in the Torah. There's no remez according to Rabbi Yeshua. It's simply a tradition that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu that for 7 days from day 1 until day 7 of Sukkot, we do Nisach HaMayim.
Why do you have no davening in
the liturgical? Why? It's not in the davening at all?
Yeah.
We don't mention it when it comes to Tfilas Geshem. I think we might mention Tfilas Geshem possibly. I think, maybe. Yeah, it could be the Yotros. Could be Yotros. I'm sure it's mentioned Yotros. It's mentioned Yotros.
The Eser Netios that you were just talking about,
yeah.
Should they also be vines, or do they have to be big trees?
Netios typically means young saplings. Vines, I don't know how they qualify them to trees. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, the Gemara says now, halfway down, two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're quoting from the Mishnah yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, he said the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Ha'over lefnei ateva. In other words, the chazan. B'yom tov achron shel chag, the last day of Sukkot, let's assume Shmini Atzeres. Ha'achron, the last person, meaning the Baal Musaf, would be maskir, says, start saying Mashiva Ruach HaMerdagashim. However, the Rishon, the Baal Shachris, ain't no maskir, he does not start saying it in Shachris. And on the other end, B'yom Tov Rishon Shepesach, HaRishon, the Baal Shachris Maskir, still does say Mashiva Ruach. However, the Achron, the Baal Musaf, already ain't no Maskir. So that's all a quotation from the Mishnah. So Gemara wants to know, hey, Rabbi Yeshua, who is the Rabbi Yeshua who holds this? Ilema Rabbi Yeshua, Demesnesin, this is actually a quotation from the Brisa. If this is Rabbi Yeshua from our Mishnah, Ha'amar B'yom Tov HaAchron Shechag, who Maskir? Rabbi Yeshua just says, the last day of Sukkot, you start mentioning it. He does not distinguish between Shacharis and Musaf. Sounds like maybe even Maariv. If not Maariv, Shacharis, you would start saying Mashir Ruach, but he certainly does not distinguish between Shacharis and Musaf. So it can't be Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah who says this. It can't be the same Rabbi Yeshua here in this Brisa. So Ella must be Rabbi Yeshua the Brisa, Hamar, must be the other Rabbi Yeshua that we have in the yesterday's Brisa, who said Mishas Hanachaso. When you place down the lulav, that's when you start mentioning Mashver Ruach. So when do you start placing that down?
After the seventh day,
that's when you start doing it. So that would be, what does Rashi say here? Rashi says, you look at Rashi, it's around 10 lines up from the bottom. He says, Ha'amar mishas hanchaso, dahainu b'shvi, that's the seventh day. V'ha'cha katani, yom tov ha'achron shechag, dahainu b'shmini. So it can't be Rabbi Shua of the Brisa who said about the time you place down the lulav, because that would be day seven. And the Brisa we're looking for, the Rabbi Shua that we're looking for is that we start saying Mashir Ruach on day eight. So who's the author of Rabbi Shua of that Brisa? We still don't know. The Su, moreover, there's another Brisa, Hadesani, the Brisa that tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Ben Beseira, in the name of Ben Beseira, Ha'over Lefnei Ateva B'yom Tov Achron Shechag, the guy who davens the last day of Sukkot Shemini Atzeres, Ha'achron Maski, the Baal Musaf, says it. So, hey Ben Beseira, which Ben Beseira is this referring to? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, if he's the author, but Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, we saw yesterday's daf, Hamar, B'sheni B'chag Hu Maski, you mentioned it on the second day of Chag, you don't wait until the eighth day of Chag. So a lot of confusing brises of unclear who the authors are. Who's Rabbi Yeshua? Who's Ben Beseira? So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I'll tell you who the author is. Tehei Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. We could fuse together the two brises and say, Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. And when it says Ben Beseira, it's really Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. One time referred to him as Stam Rabbi Yeshua, and the other brisa referred to him as Ben Beseira. But it's really one and the same person, and that's going to answer all of our questions. It's a new person, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. Not the Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah, and not Rabbi Yeshua of yesterday's brisa, but this is a new person, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. And Zimnam, the Gemara says, the Karle Bishmei, Vizimnam the Karle Bishmei, the Abba. Sometimes we call him by his own name, Rabbi Yeshua, and sometimes we call him by his father's name, Ben Beseira. One was prior to his getting smicha. So before he got smicha, we called him Ben Beseira. He didn't have his own independent name. Once he received smicha, so then he had the he earned his own name, his own title, and then he was called Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, this ends our discussion of the different days of Mashir Ruach and Nisach HaMayim. So now the Gemara wants to know, or quote the Brisa, Tana b'tal baruchos lo chayvu chachamim lahazkir. When it comes to the coming of dew, and the coming and the need for winds, the chachamim never required us to mention it. There's no need to say morid atal. There's no need to mention mashir haruach. The only thing necessary to say is morid hageshem. That's the only thing you need to say during the yimei hageshamim. However, in Balahaskir, Maskir, if a person wants to, you could certainly mention it. So that's why we know in the Nusach Svar they say Morat Atal, because you don't lose anything by this, and anything you actually gain, because you'll never ever have to repeat one essay, because the Morat Atal substitutes for if you miss Mashiv HaRuach and Mirgashim in the Yimeag Shamim, you're Yotze by saying Morat Atal. There's only what to gain. So Mara wants to know my time, huh? Why don't we have to mention Tal Ruchos? Aren't those also necessary for helping the land grow? So Amar Rabbi Chinina lefi she'ein netzarin, because they don't stop. Tal and Ruchos, wind and dew never stops. They always have it throughout the year, every single day of the year. We always have dew, we always have wind. It never stops. How do we know this to be true? The Tal minolan de lo miyatzer. How do we know that Tal never stops? Dechsiv vayomer Eliyahu HaTishbi said, Mitoshve Gilad, he came from the people who lived in Gilad. El Achav, he said to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by the life of Hashem, meaning he's taking a shvua. Hashemati lefanav, I'm standing in front of you. Im yashanim ha'ela tal matar, if there will be dew and rain, kiim lefi dvari, unless it's according to my word. So Eliyahu said to him, there's not going to be any rain, there's not going to be any tal, until I say that there's going to be. Uksiv, then it says, Hashem tells Eliyahu Navi, Lech, go and heira el achav show achav ve'etne matar al pnei adama, and let there be rain. So that was the back and forth. So the Gemara is medayik ve'ilu tal lo kamarle. He didn't say that tal came back, because even though initially Eliyahu Navi said there's not going to be any tal, there was tal the whole time. Tal never stops. Even when Eliyahu Navi says there's not going to be Tal, there still was Tal. So you see from this dialogue between Ahav and Eliyahu Navi, Tal never stops. And therefore, since Tal never stops, you don't have to ever ask for Tal in Tefillah. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So my time, what's the reason why? Mishum, the lo miyatzer, the reason why he don't have to add, the reason why it didn't return back, because it never stopped. That's why he did not have to mention to Ahav that Tal's coming back, because it never left. So v'chim achar de lo miyatzer, so if Tal never stopped, so Eliyahu ishtabu alamalei. So why did he make a shu in the first place? Why did he say, I'm going to have the Tal stop? If he knew that Tal will never stop, so he shouldn't have made that shu in the first place, that Tal will stop. So answers the Gemara, Hachi Kamarle. Eliyahu Nabi says to Achav as follows, Afilu Tal de Bracha, Nami lo Asa. So he says, no, there's always going to be Tal, but the Tal always won't always be effective. It won't serve as a bracha. It's going to be there. Every single day has Tal, but the dew is not always going to be effective. I'm removing that Tal Shel Bracha. So that was removed. So then the Gemara asks, if the Tal Shel Bracha was removed, Lehadre, the Tal de Bracha, so then he should have said to Achav, look, the Tal Bracha returned back. So why didn't he say that? He only said that the Matar, that the rain came back. But he should have also said to Achav that the Tal Shel Bracha returned as well. So Gemara says, Mishum de lo minkra milsa. Because it wasn't obvious. It wasn't noticeable. Every single day there's Tal. How could you distinguish whether the Tal is Bracha or not Bracha? So Achav wouldn't know. So that's why Eliyahu didn't want to get involved with him and said, he just said that the Matar, the rain is returning, but he didn't want to tell him that the Tal Shel Bracha was returning, because that's going to be get very, very complex. So that's the source from Eliyahu Navi and Achav. That's the dialogue that teaches us that Tal never stops. So how do we know Ruchos, Minala, and Dulamatsri? How do we know that wind never stops? And that's the reason why you don't have to ask for wind. So Amr Bishu ben Levi, Damar Kran, the Pasuk says, Ki ka'arba Ruchos ha-shemayim perasti etzchem numashem. Like the four corners, the four sides, of the four winds of the earth, I spread Klai Yisrael out. So my kamarlu, what exactly is being stated here? This is a pasuk that's found in where Zechariah. So what exactly was Hashem saying? So my kamarlu, ilema, if the pasuk means hachi kamarle, if he's saying as follows, hachi kamarlu hu hakadosh baruch Yisrael, Hashem says to Yisrael, dibisrenichu barberuchai dama, that I spread you out to the four sides of the world. Ihachi, that's the meaning, ki arba. Bi'arba mi baile. It should say bi'arba, that I spread you out bi'arba ruchos in the four sides of the world. Not ki'arba, like the four sides of the world. So that can't be the taich of this pasuk. Ella, hachi kamarle. What Hashem says to Klai Yisrael is, kishem shi'ef shar li'olam b'lo ruchos. Just like the world cannot exist without wind, kach i'ef shar li'olam b'lo Yisrael. So too, the world cannot exist without Klai Yisrael. So that's what it means. Ki ka'arba ruchos ha-shamayim parasti eschem. Like the four winds of the world, that's how I spread you guys out. That you're needed in the world, just like the four winds are necessary in the world. The Gemara in Bava Basra in the second parak talk about the different unique natures of each of the four winds. That's a discussion you find in the second parak of Bava Basra. So then the Gemara, so what is the need for the winds though? Why is it so important? So if you look at Rashi around 10 narrow lines down, and he says, Kishem she'ef sharli olam below ruchos, that the world cannot exist without wind, shelo yiskaim mirov hevel v'chamimus. If it weren't wind, if there were to be no wind, it would be too hot, and all the steam and the gases would be so hard to live and breathe. If the wind blows everything away and cools everything down, that's why it's necessary, according to Rashi, to have winds in the world. Okay, so then the Gemara says, so now we know that Tal and Ruchos always exist in the world. It never stops, and therefore you'd never have to ask for Tal and Ruchos. We do anyways, but there's no need for this. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Hilkach, therefore, B'yamos Achama, in the summer months after Pesach until Sukkot. Amar Masheruach, if a person says Masheruach, Ein Machzirno, so we don't make him go back. Now there is a discussion about saying extra words in Tefillah. You can't just speak during Shemoneh Esrei. So this seemingly would be a hefsek. Saying Masher Ruach, I'm trying to remember right now this whole sugya. Oh yes, yeah. Who do you know which? Okay, interesting. Okay, so it sounds like from this that it's only b'dieved. Pasha is only b'dieved. If it one said it, we don't machzir hoso. But you're suggesting maybe these nusraos actually lechachila one should say Masher Ruach. Okay, could be. So then that would prove that's not a hefsek.
Why would you go back?
Because we know by Mord HaGeshem...
We're talking Masher Ruach.
Exactly. So it's basically saying something that's unnecessary. Masharuch is unnecessary to be said. It's happening anyways. So we'll see in a second why Masharuch Murnagashim is necessary, because wind could come anytime during the day. It always comes, but you need it actually to be next to the rain. That's more effective when it comes next to the rain. Either before or afterwards, we'll see shortly. So it seems like it's a half-fake, but maybe the idea is maybe, no, there is some element of asking for wind as well, even l'chachila, according to some chassidim. It does come up, you have some instances, I'm just thinking right now, let's say a person saying a bracha ta Hashem, and he makes a mistake. He realizes he forgot Yalav Yavo. So he says, if he finishes the bracha, he has to go back to Ritzay now. But if he says bracha ta Hashem, the Mishabur advises you could say, and that wasn't a bracha, you just said a pasuk, and you could go back. So there's a big discussion in the post, and Moshe is not so fond of this, because that's saying, you're saying a random pasuk in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Isn't that considered a hefsek? So that's a discussion the post can talk about. Either way, we pass like the Mishabur that you're allowed to say Lam Teni Chukecha. For whatever reason, it does not serve as a hefsek, just like this case of saying Mashver Ruach unnecessarily would not be considered a hefsek. Let's continue now. So again, Rabbi Chanina says, B'yimos HaChama Amar Mashver Ruach Ein Machzir No So. We don't make him go back if you said Mashver Ruach. Amar Morda Geshem, if you say Morda Geshem during the summer, then the lach is Machzir No So. You do return him back. You have to make him go back again because you're asking for rain in the summer when you don't need the rain. How, the opposite now. But you most hagishamim during the rainy season. Lo amar mashiv ruach. If you don't say mashiv ruach, ain machzino so. You don't make him go back because you don't have to ask for wind ever. The wind is happening anyways. But if you don't say lo amar morid hageshem, then you are machzino so. Then you have to repeat it because you are lacking. Lo oh, not only that. Elafilu amar mavi haruach umafriach atal. Ain machzir so. Not only that, even a person says against the wind, he's asking for a bracha that the wind should not exist and all the tal should go away and fly away. The same halacha applies. Ain machzir so. No matter how much you daven for the wind to stop and for the tal to stop, no matter how much, you're not going to be affected. The world always has tal. The world always has ruchos. Okay, the Gemara now says Tana. Oh, by the way, this long tosis here on the side here, we're not going to go through, but this, he quotes a Yishalmi, that's what we mentioned yesterday, that if a person forgot to say the same Talmud Levracha, so you can make it up in Shemer Tefillah. But if a person forgot to say Masher Ruach Merdagashem, there's a machlokes whether or not you can make it up in Shemer Tefillah, or no, once you've missed it, you finish the bracha, there's no making it up, you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. That's these 2 days, I think, that are found in this tosis here. Okay, the Gemara now says, halfway down the page, Tana, the Brisa says, Ba'avim uberuchos lochayvu chachamim lahazkir. When it comes to clouds, avim are clouds, and ruchos and winds, the chachamim did not require us to mention them. However, vim balahazkir maskir, if a person wants to, he's certainly allowed to. It doesn't take away at all by mentioning the bringing of the winds and the bringing of the clouds. My time, what's the reason not? Bishum delamatzer. They don't stop. And since they don't stop, there was not a chiv to ever mention them in the first place. That's true. And it's also, we're also not allowed to add on to the Shevach of Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos says only what Anshe Knes Gadol put together. Good question. Where would they be actually mentioning this? Let's see. I don't know. Did anybody mention this on the side? The way it's being presented here, at least in the Masifta, it says, Mashir Ruach. Umekasher avim. Sounds like in the same sentence of Mashir Ruach, but that's a good question. How could you just add on to other praise of Hashem if it wasn't instituted by the Chachamim?
You see Bracha Baruch Alein on this different sachos.
Right, but that's different when it comes to that point, because when it comes to the Shvachos of Hashem, only what they listed were we allowed to say. That, remember that story in Gemara Brachos, where the Chazm was going up and saying all these great things, Akel, Agadol, Agibor, Vanor, and he went on and on and on. I forgot who the Amor was. He says, are you done yet? Are you finished yet? That's all? Then you could limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises? Of course you can't limit it. He says the only reason why we're allowed to say whatever praises we say is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on what Moshe Rabbeinu had said, and Anshe Knesset Gedolah, they said these few praises you're allowed to say, but beyond that you can't say, because once you start, you can't stop. Because anytime you stop, you're in essence limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's qualities, and there's no limit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and all his greatness is infinite. So therefore you can't add anything on. So it's a great question. If it comes to other brachos in the nuschalos of the Bakasho, so then there's some wiggle room. But in terms of adding on praise, that's a good question. I don't know. Okay, the Gemara now says, So right now we're assuming that when it comes to winds and when it comes to clouds, it never stops. So Gemara challenges this concept and says, "Veloma atzrei." Is it really true that winds and clouds don't stop? V'hatani Rav Yosef teaches us, V'atzar, the pasuk says, V'atzar es ha-shamayim, that it stops, the sky stops. What does it stop from? Min ha'avim and min ha'ruchos. So he understands, Rav Yosef understands what it means is that there's no longer going to be clouds and there's no longer going to be any winds. So ata omer min ha'avim min ha'ruchos, your Rav Yosef is interpreting the pasuk to mean it's going to stop from clouds and stop from winds. O enu ela min ha'matar. Maybe what it means is v'atzar es ha-shamayim, the sky is going to stop from producing rain. Can't be. Because Kishu Omer, when the pasuk goes on to say, V'lo ye matar, hari matar amar, the next phrase says, it's not going to be rain. So ma'amar, so ha ma'ani mekayim, so what I do with the pasuk, V'atzar es ha-shamayim, it must therefore be, it's going to stop min ha'avim, min ha'ruchos. So what we see from this brisa is, that wind and clouds do stop. Above we said that winds and clouds don't stop. So there's a stira. So the Gemara says, Kashu ruchos ha-ruchos, Kasha avim, a'avim. There's a steer when it comes to winds, whether winds stop, and there's a steer when it comes to clouds, whether clouds stop or they don't stop. So Gemara says, a'avim, a'avim, lo kasha. When it comes to different clouds, they don't stop. There's no steer, there's no kasha. Haba harifi, haba afle. One's referring to a earlier type of cloud, one's referring to a later type of cloud. What does that mean, earlier versus late? So if you look at Rashi around where we are in the Gemara, he says, b'charifi, avim b'chiros. The earlier ones, Lashon Bechor, the firstborn, the Bechiros, Habam Lifnei Hamatar, Einam Atzros. The wind, the clouds that come before the rain, that always exists. Meaning the rain can't come without clouds. So clouds first come, they bring their rain, the rain comes down. So that's always going to exist. That's the type of wind, rather the clouds, that never stops. But the Afle, says Rashi, Habos Mucharos, La'achar Matar, after rain, sometimes there's some clouds that are just hanging around a little bit. Those, the shnius lamater, that they actually are secondary to rain. Like we'll see later on, they're actually very beneficial for the rain to have clouds afterwards. Those types of clouds will stop. Then the Gemara says, ruchos aruchos lokasha. There is no steer when it comes to winds either. Ha beruach metzuya, ha beruach shein metzuya. The common wind, metzuya, that's normally coming, that wind will never stop. But the Ruach She'ena Metzuya, an uncommon wind, which means a very strong, powerful wind, that wind will stop. And the reason being is because you need their wind. The Ruach Metzuya, we said that the world needs to exist with wind, because if there's no wind, that means all the hevel and the gases and the heat and all that smog would really take over the world, so you always need wind, but that's only the wind that's Metzuya. But the Ruach She'ena Metzuya, the uncommon wind, the very strong, powerful wind, that type of wind will stop. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You also need the Ruach Sheinu Metzuya. It's Chazali Beidari. When it comes to the threshing fields, it's very necessary to, when they used to throw up the, when they had the wheat, they bring the wheat to the threshing field, so they have to, the shaft you said? So they have all the different parts of the shaft and then the kernels, you have to separate everything. So after they crush them, have people, the cows or the people step on them, they separate the kernels and the shaft, but they mix together. So they throw them up in the air, and the big wind would come, and send away all the light part, and the heavy kernels will drop to the bottom. So it was still necessary to have the Ruach Sheinu Metzuya. Mora says, no, you don't need it, because you could always use Efshir, but Nafusa, you could always use a hand sifter. Take a little sifter and just shake it like that, even though it's not as efficient doing it that way, but there's still a way around it. So therefore, the world can do without the Ruach Sheinu Metzuya. It could do without the very strong wind. And that's the curse of V'atzar es ha-shamayim, means that the sky will stop from any of those heavy winds and from those clouds that come after the rain. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tana, Ha'avim v'aruchos shnios lamatar. Clouds and wind serve as secondary, they're beneficial to the rain. They're helpful to the rain to take effect. How? Hey Chidami, how is this the case? Amar Ula says, V same others say it's Rabbi Yehuda, the Basar Mitra, when it comes after the rain, when wind and clouds come after the rain, it's beneficial. The Maimer Demal Yusahi, does that really mean it's really good? Is it really beneficial when it comes after the rain? The Haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, the Pasuk that appears in the end of Sefer Devarim, looks like Parshas Kisavo, Yitain Hashem es matartecha, when Hashem's going to give the rain, avak va'afram in Shemayim, it's going to turn into dust and dirt from the sky. So, va'amar Ula says, v'iseima Rav Yehuda, Zika de Basar Mitra. That means it's going to rain, and there's going to have a Zika. Zika means wind. There's going to be wind after the rain, and it's going to cause all this dust and dirt to fly around. That's actually a klala, when it has wind after the rain. How could before can we say that wind after rain is good, when the klala in the Tocha says wind after the rain is bad? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, that's not a problem either. Hada'asir Nicha, Hada'asir Razia. Depends how the rain came down. If it came binachi, like Noach, restful, peacefully, and one is razi when it comes very forcefully, when it comes aggressively down. Does Rashi explain this further? Rashi says, you see, look at the last two narrow lines of Rashi. Hada'asir Nicha, Hada'asir Razia. Kishiyard binachas, when the rain comes down nicely, then the rain's not going to bring up dust. It's going to be a very nice, pleasant, steady rain. Razia is bakach, when it comes down with force, below garcinan, if I don't need to read the rest of Rashi, that's the difference. So when it comes down with force, that's the curse, and the way it comes down with force, the dust is coming up, the wind's blowing the dust all over the place, that's when we say wind after the rain is very, very bad. But when it rains binachas, and then the wind comes afterwards, that's when we say that the wind is actually beneficial for the rain. Then the Gemara says, Hadimala Avik, Hadulamala Avik, right? We said before, again, one of them, when it's very forceful, that's when it brings up the Avak, brings up the dust, and that's when it's bad. And when it comes to Menachas, it doesn't bring up the Avak, it does not bring up the dust. Then comes along Amar of Yehuda, Zika de Basar Mitra Kimitra. The koach that the wind has when it comes after rain is like a second coming of the rain. Right? The first time it rains is one time, and then when it blows the wind afterwards, that's equal, the same strength as rain itself. So it's like you'd rain twice. Then the Gemara says, Eva de Basar Mitra Kimitra. When the clouds come right after the rain, that's also equivalent to a second type of rain. Shimsha de Basar Mitra. If the sun comes out after rains, Kitre Mitra. That actually has the value of two rains when the sun comes out after the rain. Lemute Mai, what does it come to exclude? Lemute Gile de Leila Vishimsha de Bene Karcha. When it's not good, so right now we have all the, everything seems very good. If it's sunny out, if it's cloudy out, if it's windy out, everything's good. So when is it bad? Is there ever a case where it's bad after the rain? So the Gemara says, yes, Gili Delayla, if it rained and during the nighttime, that's when it's not good for the rain. Or alternatively, if there's sun that's piercing through the clouds, a partly sunny day, partly cloudy day, that's when it's actually bad for the rain as well. But if it's fully sunny or fully cloudy, that's when it's beneficial for the rain.
What's Gila's light rain?
Gila, I think, is referring to the moon, I thought, the Rashi says here. You see Rashi?
Yeah.
Gila Delayla, he says, Ishlo Shrata Belaz. And where does that send us to? What's the Lashon Lazi Rashi? It refers to, right, the Or HaBokeh Ba'Fela, the light that pierces through the nighttime. I have on the side here. So first, I assume the light of the moon, but it could be some other light. What do they say in the English here? Anyone have it in English? The English is? What is that?
Flashes of light.
So the Lachar from the moon, right? I assume from the moon, or unless shooting stars or regular stars. So light of the moon is actually detrimental for the rain, and sun that pierces through the clouds also is detrimental for the effect of the rain. Okay, should we stop here? Let's see? Should go top of Dalet Amud Aleph? We'll go a little bit more, fine. Gemara now says on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, Amar Rava, Rava says, Mala Pagalatura Kichamisha Michelara. Mala, it's beneficial, it's good. Talga, what's the Lashon Talga? We switch it tough and the shin, right? We saw yesterday, tough and shin is Sheleg. So Sheleg, the snow, is Latura, to a mountain. So the snow in a mountain is equal to five rains on the ground. So when it snows in mountains, it's very beneficial, equal to five times raining on the ground. How do we know this? What's the source? Shinemar, quote the Pasuk, Ki Lasheleg Yomar Hevi Eretz V'Geshem Matar V'Geshem Mitros Uzo. Pasuk in Iov. It's referring to Sheleg, and it says the word Sheleg, and it says five times there, it says Geshem once, Matar twice, Geshem another time, and Matros another two times. That's a total of five mentions of rain, so one snow is equal to five amounts of rain. Amar Rava, Rava says, Talgalature Mitra, Talgalature. So the snow is beneficial for mountains because it stays in the mountains and it slowly melts its way down and helps slowly the mountains and below the mountains. Mitra Razia, a very strong type of rain, is beneficial. Lilana, it's very beneficial for the fruit trees. Mitra Nicha, when it rains nicely, that's good for the pear, for the fruits themselves. And then the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Urfila, which Rashi says is Gishamim Dakin, it's a drizzle. The drizzle is good, Afila Lepartida, the Tusi Kala, it's beneficial for the seeds that are below the ground. And Mehanya Le, right, that's part of the statement here, no, fine. One second here. Exactly. The Tusi Kala Mehanya Le, that they're beneficial for the seeds that are below the ground. A very nice drizzle. So my urfila, what's a lashon urfila that means a drizzle? Says the Gemara, uri pili. What does uri pili mean? Says Rashi, uri pili, she so same sad ke'ar, is that it closes up any cracks in the ground. When it drizzles nicely, it's going to fill in any of the cracks that are found in the ground. And the other man damar in Rashi is lashon acher, she megadeles umetameches hagarinim haomdim besad ke'akarka. No, what it means is, it finds the cracks in the ground of the seeds that are below there, and begins to help them slowly grow. So I guess Lashon Uri is Lashon of skin probably. There's some cracks in the skin, some cracks in the ground, and it's breaking through those cracks. Okay, we'll stop here.